Topic 12, Effectively Using Spiritual Direction. Spiritual direction has been found to be very helpful as a tool to enhance flourishing. It is first modeled for us in the scriptures in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. The famous scene of Jesus encountering the disciples on the road to Emmaus, where he encounters these disciples who are disappointed, despondent, on the road away from Jerusalem, having witnessed the death of Jesus at Calvary. And he approaches them to listen. What kinds of things are you talking about? What is on your mind? And they begin to tell him the story of the events of these past 3 days, and especially how the story had dampened their hopes, had left them despondent and so dreadfully disappointed that the one in whom they had hoped was now gone. Jesus listens, encourages the disciples to talk, and as he walks with them on the road to Emmaus, begins to explain to them how the scriptures were being fulfilled in the events that happened in Jerusalem. Of course, they reach the culmination of the journey when he breaks the bread, the Eucharistic action that reveals him as Jesus the Savior, and then he disappears from their midst. This accompaniment, this walking with us on the road to Emmaus, is a model for spiritual direction. Barry and Connolly, two experts in Ignatian spirituality and spiritual direction, a long time ago wrote, "We define Christian spiritual direction, then, as help given by one Christian to another." Note that spiritual direction is not therapy. The director needs to be of a faith community, the same faith community as the directee. The encounter between the director and the directee is an encounter of two Christians, two people of the same faith tradition, sharing faith and looking together to the one who makes sense of it all. This encounter enables the person seeking direction to pay attention to God's personal communication to him or her, and to respond to this personally communicating God, to grow in intimacy with this God, and to live out the consequences of this relationship. Some years later, Frank Hudeck, another Jesuit, wrote a book called Guided by the Spirit, A Jesuit Perspective on Spiritual Direction. I apologize for all of these Jesuit references, but your speaker is a Jesuit, so I'm biased here. Frank Hudeck wrote, and I quote, "Spiritual direction is a conversation, a dialogue between two people where one person aids another to express his or her experience of personal faith and personal mystery." Hudeck goes on to describe three central elements of spiritual direction. One, a personal encounter that is conversational. The emphasis here needs to be on a real mutuality and sharing of faith. As I said earlier, this is not a therapeutic relationship. There is no neutrality. There's no attempt to remain neutral and bland on the part of the spiritual director. Instead, it begins in a place of mutuality and sharing. At the same time, however, the focus is not explicitly on the relationship with the spiritual director. That, again, might be something that would be more appropriate in the context of a counseling relationship. Instead, the focus is always on relationship to God. And the two, the director and the directee, are companions on that road to growing in union with God. The second element, the primary purpose of the conversation in spiritual direction, is to express faith and mystery in words. Trying to put our deepest experience in words as a way to clarify that experience and to promote integration of present crises and conflicts in the context of my lived faith experience. How does whatever I'm going through in life, whatever problem, trial, transition, whatever it may be, how is that woven into the narrative of my faith story and my relationship to God? What is God trying to say in and through my lived experience? This is the real material for conversation in spiritual direction. Thirdly, an essential component is to make behavioral decisions based on that faith experience. It's so important for us in spiritual growth to discern, to learn what the will of God is, but we can never do that in isolation. We always need to bring our experience of God and God's desire for us to the light of another companion in faith, so that it can be confirmed. Again, unlike therapy here, the explicit reference is to faith experience out of which to make decisions, and not simply personal development, desires, and fulfillment. What is my faith experience? The process, of course, of spiritual direction is not confined simply to crisis points, but also, and perhaps more regularly, the ordinary times where God labors to communicate to us always his love and his desire. Finally, in an attempt to break this Jesuit ghetto of sources on the matter, I wanted to cite a diocesan priest, Lawrence Ventline, from the Archdiocese of Detroit, who wrote a very fine piece on spiritual direction. He wrote, "Spiritual direction meets the hungers of people in surfacing obstacles and unfreedoms in one's walk. It traces lines and themes of development in matters of ministry, uncovers desires and needs, and provides support and encouragement in a climate and forum for bearing one another's burdens." Sounds wonderful. How do we get started with a spiritual director? I would suggest beginning with your own personal story, becoming familiar with it, writing about it, especially the place of God through childhood, adolescence, and adult years. Or start with what is presently distressing you. Perhaps there is some particular issue or transition or crisis or life event that is right at the forefront and that needs to be addressed. Or you might notice shifts in prayer, certain conversion points, points of spiritual transformation, as we talked about in an earlier talk. Or perhaps you're experiencing a period of dryness or aridity in prayer. That would be something to bring to the light of spiritual direction. How to live that contemplatio of the Lectio Divina. How to be more aware and transformed by the loving presence of God. Or perhaps you're experiencing a roller coaster with prayer, having some intense periods followed by equally long periods of no prayer at all. Sometimes bringing this to the light of spiritual direction can stoke the fire and can renew a sense of consistency in prayer. Hudek notes from his own experience as a director that the typical issues which bring directees to spiritual direction for the first time revolve often around areas of unfreedom. fears. We've talked in this course about life trap fears. It may be a fear of failure, or of abandonment, or rejection, or intimacy. Anger, or feeling guilty about feeling angry. Depression. There may be, of course, a need for referral for professional intervention, particularly if, as we discussed in the talk on depression, there might be some clinical depression. But oftentimes, issues of mild to moderate depression might benefit from the light of spiritual direction, trying to make sense of the feeling, the mood, the thoughts in the context of one's faith experience. Issues of sexuality are also appropriate for spiritual direction, sexual identity, orientation, relationships. And authority, over controlling people in one's life, or an attitude of docility, as we saw in the life trap of dependence and the resentment which it breeds. Now, there are certain qualities to seek in a spiritual director. A spiritual director is a person who is trained to accompany a Christian on this faith journey. And there are certain things that we need to be aware of as we look for the director. Among them, maybe first among them, is a person who can form a dialogue and a conversation. Some people, of course, and this is true in every walk of life, not just among spiritual directors, it's therapists, doctors, professors, everyone, by virtue of personality, may be more inclined to be intrusive or to take the attention in the room for themselves, to make themselves the focus of the conversation. That's, of course, something we want to avoid in a spiritual director. The director ought to be able to maintain the focus on you as a directee. It's appropriate to share, as we said earlier, some of his or her own faith experience, but never to make that the explicit focus in the relationship. It needs to be you and what your issues and desires are as you come to this privileged conversation. And so the director needs to refrain from excessive advice giving, trying to solve your problems, or coming across to you as the expert to a learner. Remember, it's companionship in faith. Or remaining neutral or aloof, trying to develop what we in psychological circles call transference, that overly psychological approach to spiritual direction is really an inappropriate expression in this particular forum. So a spiritual director who can form a real dialogue with you and can facilitate that dialogue between you and God, more importantly, is probably one of the primary qualities to seek in a spiritual director. A second quality is a person who can have an empathic understanding and presence. Empathy is the core quality for all caregivers, really, but especially for spiritual directors. If you come to a spiritual director who can only relate to experiences that he or she has personally had, then the repertoire of faith experiences that you can share are limited. And you will know that intuitively. You will feel that there are certain areas that you may wish to bring into spiritual direction that are not welcome, that are not received, they're not heard as they ought to be heard. Remember, empathy is a non-judgmental presence, which is accepting of all that you bring there, And the person of the spiritual director who is empathic is able temporarily to get into your shoes, as it were, to feel what you are feeling, think what you are thinking, fear what you are fearing, even if that particular experience has never been a part of his or her own. This is the kind of empathic understanding and presence that is so important to make the spiritual direction experience lively and useful. And thirdly, we want a person in a spiritual director who has a mature faith, someone who is praying, someone who is working on his or her own spiritual transformation and maturity. Again, this is not someone who has arrived in any sense, who is an expert now giving you advice and direction, but someone who is engaged on the road to Emmaus himself or herself, bringing his or her own disappointments and fears and confusion before the Lord, trying to discern the will of God as he or she moves forward. This is the person. This person who comes to Scripture and tradition hungry and thirsty for the Word of God, for the Word of life. This is the person with whom you will be able to sit and share the journey and draw from their living experience. This is also a person who has a strong pastoral sense, someone who knows and takes seriously the mandate of Jesus, feed my sheep, someone who cares for the flock, cares for your spiritual life and growth. And again, much of this you will know when you meet with the spiritual director. You will feel it. It will become obvious to you. And you should carry these guidelines with you as you begin the process. Now, let's look at some of the dynamics of spiritual direction and how it works. First of all, the essential function of the director-directee relationship is around some of the, what we might call in psychological circles, non-specific factors of the relationship. That is to say, there's no one recipe book that a spiritual director should follow, or manual to say this topic must be addressed serially before this one and this one and the other one, and that one or another of the things that he or she does will really get you on the path to spiritual growth. Rather, it's about the relationship in faith. This is the non-specific factor, the relationship that develops between you and the director as companions in faith. The director brings his or her own unique gifts and talents, which are crucial to this process of direction. The directee brings a deep desire to grow in the life of the Spirit. This is a sine qua non, an essential element of coming into spiritual direction. It's not essentially to solve my problems. I can go to a therapist, a counselor, or some other resource if that's the goal. The goal is instead to grow in the life of the Spirit, and in so doing, to experience the transformation that will bring about the kind of flourishing that we've been discussing throughout this course. From the director's side, the sense of hope that the director holds for the directee is an essential component. Even when we, the directee, are not able to see how God may be making any life out of this, what might be a deadly or deathly situation, the spiritual director holds the vision of hope. Again, very much akin to the road to Emmaus, where the despondent disciples can't hold the hope, but Jesus, who accompanies them, holds that hope, embodies that hope, and enables the disciples eventually to grasp the hope and to express gratitude for it. So the director holds that hope, and that's probably one of his or her essential gifts to the directee. The director is also able to be silent, allowing the directee at times to be silent as well, not to be afraid of silence, but also allowing the directee to have a voice. Sometimes the silence can be very fertile. It can allow us, in the presence of someone whom we trust, to be vulnerable, to let down defenses, and to share what we are really feeling, fearing, and hoping for in the session. The director needs to be genuine, that is, to be fully himself or herself, and to model that kind of openness for the directee. And the director needs to have understanding. The directee won't move on if he or she perceives that the director only read about an issue or has never dealt with it at all. In psychological circles, we talk about coping models being more effective than mastery models. It's important for us, when we speak to somebody who's going to give us assistance, that we know that they are sharing the journey, as we said earlier. And so that kind of understanding of, I know where you are, I've been there, or I am there, is extremely important to us. And finally, the director's love. Above all, perhaps, is the director's love, where the director can see the directee as Christ sees the directee. We all need that experience of love. And coming to a directee who can mediate that love to us, who can enflesh, incarnate that love to us in that particular holy alliance of spiritual direction, can really be a transformative moment for us, something that we can hold on to and remember. Now, there are some additional components that we can include in this process of spiritual direction. Journaling is an important one of them. Sometimes people journal on a daily basis. Other times people use a journal on occasion when there might be a particular issue or crisis that they're working through. A journal allows us to stay tuned to those interior movements so that we can bring these movements more easily to spiritual direction, whether that's on a monthly or bi-monthly basis, to share with the director. Examine, as we talked about in the last talk on prayer, a particular examine if there's a particular issue that we'd like to follow up from time to time in spiritual direction. Prayer is, of course, an essential part. If we're not praying, then there's really no point in having spiritual direction, because that really is the content. Otherwise, the session can easily be reduced to chatting about issues. Now, what are the ways that we can evaluate whether spiritual direction is working? I will offer just a few. Essentially, a growth in virtue, faith, hope, and love, the theological virtues. These are the essential criteria for evaluating our growth in the spiritual life. A sense of hope, discovering and appreciating the meaning and value of the present. A sense of altruism, a deepened awareness and sensitivity of others. A heightened energy, liberated now to pursue what I truly want. And a trust in God, making a more free and intentional surrender to the will of God. If spiritual direction seems likely or appropriate for you, talk to one or more trusted friends about their experience with the director. Interview prospective directors where you can discuss your expectations. And consider a 3-month evaluation period. Above all, take a risk Remember, one of the most robust predictors of happy and productive spiritual lives is taking the risk. You may be very happy you did so.